Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The timeout's over, and the action resumes now. Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis. KFH.
All right, Max, thank you. Dude, what are we going to do about the Royals at this point?
Well, I mean, 10-game losing streaks hopefully aren't the norm. I mean, even for horrible teams, they don't lose 10 in a row. So, win today, you're 200 500. Yeah. This is probably closer to what they are than April, which we talked about. But, like I said, 10-game losing streaks are hard to do. Unless you're just the dregs of the major leagues. And I don't think they are. I mean, Detroit's 12-24, and they've won three in a row.
I mean, that would be dregs.
They're the dregs, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Got two in the first last night, and that was it. Shut her down. Duffy pitched all right. Cabrera got him, of course. He heats up when Kansas City comes to town. He's been dreadful otherwise. Just an anchor on that team's salary, Cabrera is. He's hitting 098 8 days ago. But he had two hits and two RBIs. And by the way, he became the Venezuelan hit king last night.
Saw that.
Yeah, passed up Omar Vizquel. Likeable guy, but I wouldn't want to have to play him at first base every day on my team because he's got an albatross contract around the organization's neck. But, yeah, I don't know, man. They're not going to stop the season for you, and they're only 35 games in. So if you can at least survive this and get it going back in the right direction, I mean, middle of the pack American League Central standings, here we come, right?
Probably. I thought Casey Mize was pretty good, and what I got to see of him after the two that he gave up early, I thought was fairly impressive. I remember him from Auburn, and did we determine whether he was the first pick?
I think he was the first pick. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, I think he looked the part. But the Royals just, and maybe you give credit where it's due, since I'm doing that with Casey Mize. I just, their at-bats just weren't, well, three hits is three hits. I mean, they just weren't very competitive.
And big leaguers press, too. They know they know they lost nine in a row last night.
Sure, and, sure.
You know, you got, I don't want to, single out Salvi, but he's a guy that's going to try to do something every at-bat, something, you know, noteworthy. He overswings a lot. He chases a lot of pitches. And Whit and Santana and Benintendi are probably the only guys that really don't. I mean, Dozier will take a walk now and then too, but they're pressing. And, you know, 10-3 games don't just come out of nowhere, but they could use one of those today. Just
boy, you're darn right.
Score early, score often, and get your make sure that your dudes out of your pen don't have to throw a bunch because you got a doubleheader on Friday. So, big leagues is tough, man, because the other guys are trying too. And
yep,
that's what we're seeing right now. 869-1240 if you want to talk. We've got a couple of callers on the line here on a Thursday at 9:31 at Sports Daily. John, you're up first. Hi.
Okay, I got a question to ask you. In a perfect game, is a sacrifice fly considered a hit or anything? It appears a perfect game.
Perfect game means nobody reaches base, so there wouldn't be a sacrifice fly.
Yeah.
Perfect game is 27 right. up, 27 down. Nobody gets on base.
All right. Then it wouldn't be then. It couldn't be that you have a runner hit the ball to third base or shortstop. He mailed the ball. It's an error, and he goes from first to second base. Then they have a fly ball hit deep.
No. No, because it's not perfect.
It would just be a no-hitter.
That's just a no-hitter because perfect means nobody gets on base.
But still, to consider it's not a hit or anything.
It's a no-hitter. You get credit for a no-hitter, but it's not perfect game because it's not perfection. Mark, you're up next. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. It's going well. And yourself?
Pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Good. There's a couple things when I was listening to your conversation about the new ballpark and stuff. I think we all have the concern after the new core smell wears off, will attendance continue to support the baseball team? And I went back to when I felt that minor league baseball was at its epitome when the Wranglers were here, when the general manager was it Steve Shod that was the manager, general manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
There is, we have to give these people a shot, but he was the epitome of a general manager. He was out and about the people. He was part of the promotion. He was so visible within the crowd, and what a successful man he was. Plus, he was a pleasure to be around, and I'm hoping that, this is a great story, unfortunately, with the demise of Lou and stuff, but that his legacy can carry on to bolster the attendance and that can stay here for a while and things like that. I'm going to switch channels on you. That the previous caller,
Mark. Hey, Steve Shod. Steve Shod's still there. He's serving beer in the concourse. If you're curious,
is he?
Yes,
oh,
he
wonderful.
Is. Yeah, yeah. I saw him last night.
A great guy.
Yep.
He's contagious.
Great
for
guy.
Sure, as far as his optimism. Oh.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Yep. Go on.
Maybe you can answer this question that the previous caller. In extra innings, they put a guy on second base to speed up the game. If that reliever comes in and, gives up a single and the guy scores, is that an earned run against him, or how does that work?
Unearned
that
run.
That seems unfair.
Unearned run.
It's unearned run.
Yep.
Okay. I never could get anybody to answer that, so I feel better for the relievers because that seems – not quite fair.
No doubt. No doubt. He didn't put the guy at second base. The rule did.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Well, thank you, and you guys have a good day.
Thank you, too. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks. Yeah, but the rules are still against a pitcher if he pitches a no-hitter for 7 innings because it's not a no-hitter.
It's just a notable achievement, which we've pointed out 2 weeks
just
ago.
It's just a that-a-boy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that-a-boy.
Good job for
throwing. Isn't that nice?
Good job for throwing the whole game without giving up any hits.
Yeah, isn't that
cute?
Too
bad we don't have a name for that. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah, for those who didn't hear, a couple of weeks ago, Madison Bumgarner threw a 7-inning no-hitter during a doubleheader because the games are only 7 innings. But it's not technically a no-hitter in the... It's not even
I blanch at the full description of a 7-inning no-hitter. He threw a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could...
That's
if you really want to split hairs, the guy did throw a no-hitter.
He throw a new hitter. Boom. If you're going to call a game official, then why do you change? That just really, really bugs me. Mm-mm.
Otherwise, we'd have 5 no-hitters already this year in big league baseball. Yeah.
Let me get back to Danny Duffy for a moment. Because, you know, I like me some Danny Duffy, and I didn't see anything last night that would shake me off of that tree. But let me ask you a question. As someone who's been there before, when we've talked, we just got done talking about batters pressing, and there is no question, when you are in the midst of a skid like this, You got to be careful about guys trying to do things they can't do. You know, you can't hit a five-run homer.
Right.
You just got to play
that's
the game.
That's what comes to mind when Salvi comes up all the time. And I don't want to blame him because I love
that,
him.
And
then
that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good call. How do pitchers deal with that? For instance, if a starting pitcher has an understanding of, boy, I've been pretty good, but our bullpen hasn't been very good. Mm. Are there thoughts in your brain, or do you just trust the system, or is it I got to go deeper into this game. I got to throw. I don't know. Give me a sense of how that works for a starting pitcher, because the dynamic there is you've got a starting staff and you've got a bullpen that operate doing the same things but in very different ways, and you got to have a trust factor between the two.
You want to talk in specifics or generalities? You want to talk Duffy in specific or generally if you're a Royals starter? Because it's
different. I thought about it last night watching Duffy.
Duffy has gone at least six in almost every start.
Every start.
And if you can give Matheny six, then you're avoiding the bad part of your bullpen. You get into your dudes.
Right.
Junis and Staumont last night.
And Staumont was great.
And Staumont was really good again. Mm-hmm. But if you go six, yeah, that's there's no trepidation about who you're handing the ball off to. And Duffy hasn't had to deal with that anxiety this year because he's barely given up any runs, let alone not being able to go six. But when he gave up those two in the fifth, I promise you he started to grind. When what's his name got him to put the Tigers ahead. It also has to do with, in the midst of this streak, how's your offense doing? Like, if you're not scoring any runs, that's when Duffy and guys like him start to think, I can't make any mistakes. I can't give up any runs. Mm-hmm. Or we're definitely not going to win. And that's the worst way to pitch right there. When you are grinding because there's a guy at third and less than two out in the second inning, and you think that might beat you, you got no shot. Not against big leaders. You got no shot. And that's easy for us to talk about and hard for a guy like Duffy to don't worry about it. Like, hey, guy at third, less than two outs, if he scores, that's not a terrible inning. We'll get it back. If you guys aren't scoring runs for you, you're afraid you might not get it back. Now, I don't think that's necessarily the Royals' issue per se. I mean, although they're not scoring a ton, but it's not like they're getting zero or one every time they go out there. You know, they lost to the Indians 5-4, 8-6. That Tigers game, they walked through most of it two nights ago and ended up scoring seven. But it's team effort, man, when you lose 10 in a row. And to answer your question, I doubt Duffy's mindset changes because he's older. But Keller's Friday might, if they lose again today, because he's scheduled to pitch one of the games of the doubleheader. He might grind. He's not that old. Mm. You know, minor maybe not, but also minor stuff is just okay. He understands he's got to be really precise. He's got to be on his game to keep from giving up four runs in six innings. It's contagious, whatever it is. When you're going good, nobody thinks about anything. But when you're going bad, yeah, what you said comes into play at least a little bit. Now, the good ones block it out long enough and for most of the time that they go out there. And I think Duffy, because he's 32, he's been through most of this. And he's played on some crappy teams, too. So this is not unfamiliar to him at all. And I'm not saying this team's a crappy team, but they're playing crappy right now, and he's used to being around that.
Right. Because what did he give up? He gave up the leadoff triple in the fifth, and then Candelario got him, I thought, on a bad pitch. Although the guy was going to score, nobody out and a runner at third. Yeah. I mean, the odds are the guy's going to score the go-ahead run regardless. No big deal. And then Cabrera got him right after that. So, I mean, he was like, I mean, he got nicked three times pretty good right off the bat. And it was ended up being the difference in the game.
Yeah. Although they only got three hits and no runs after the
first.
That's it. So
exactly. Right.
Those are the kinds of things that creep into your mind. And the sooner you shut them out, the better off you're going to be. But that's no guarantee that, you know, it's going to be good enough. And it wasn't last night. So it's a weird little streak that they're in. And it's hard to watch. But they'll get after it again today at noon. Again, it's a matinee baseball today between the Royals and the Tigers. And, God, who would have thought even this team would have a 10-game losing streak. But here it is, and we're not even only already halfway through May. All right, coming up next, Sports Daily will continue. It's 9:41. We've got some headlines at the top of second hour. And an announcement has been made recently with the TBT and Ron Baker. We'll tell you about that and his return to Wichita in a matter of speaking. And your calls if you want, 869-1240. Max will take them. With Shane and Bruce here on a Thursday, it's 9:42.